I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I'm your friendly neighborhood Andrew.
Wayne? A little birdie told me, a little birdie red feather, told me that you saw Brave New World.
Ooh.
I did. I went right after we recorded last week.
What'd you think, buddy?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't think it was as good as the earlier Captain America movies, but those are kind of the high bar you have to reach
for. I was about to say, I don't know that anything is as good as the early Captain America movies. Those three are like the pinnacle of Marvel Entertainment for me.
Winter Soldier is one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite, period.
Yeah, it was certainly better than a lot of the Marvel stuff that's been coming out lately, though. And it made me want to go back and rewatch the
Eternals.
Edward Norton Incredible Hulk. Nothing will make me want to watch Eternals.
Ever again. Yeah, ever. And it's Red Wing, not Red Feather, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I thought you were making a Knights of Rainsboro reference.
No. Yeah, I thought overall I really enjoyed it. I thought, Harrison Ford, all he had to do was be a grumpy old man, so it was the perfect casting choice.
Well, and angry, I mean, just like, super angry old grumpy man.
Yeah, exactly.
Filled with regret.
Perfect casting choice.
Yep.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it.
What did you think about the effects, the CGI?
I didn't have any issues with them.
What did you think about the leader's head?
Macaroni head is gross.
Yeah, not the best design, but I've seen worse.
You know, I'm tired of the bad guy who's just not charismatic enough. You know, I really like the leader from the comics, and I really despised the design of this guy. You know,
I thought the actor playing him did a decent job.
Yeah, he was fine. But
the visual appearance was not great.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was on par with the heroes on the screen. And he should have seemed like he was giving them, you know, a run for their money.
Especially since he's mysteriously offstage in the shadows for like the first half of the movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was an interesting choice that he never had to be defeated.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the leader is not a physical combatant, right? He's a schemer. He's a plotter. He's a mastermind.
But it did kind of remind me of the bad guy from... I'm trying to remember which Avengers movie it is. Is it Age of Ultron? It's not Age of Ultron. It's the Sokovia one, right? It's
Age of Ultron, that's Sokovia.
Okay. But I mean, it's like that. I mean, you know... who was the guy? He was like based on Baron Zemo, right?
Yeah, it was the yes, correct.
Yeah, and you know, you never got villain vibes from him. You just got bad guy vibes, and this is kind of the same thing with him. And I want somebody who is, you know, who is charismatic and you know has you know super villain energy going up against our superheroes, and that was what was frustrating. And when you've got a character like the leader who is such a great villain for the Hulk, and then you see him just kind of squandered this way, it bothers me.
Yeah, I will say one of my biggest disappointments was there's no mid credit scene, and I wait all the way for the after credit scene and felt like I wasted my time waiting because that was such a letdown of a
It felt a little on the nose, didn't it?
Yeah.
There's other worlds and they're coming. Like
we're scramming this into the multiverse. The multiverse is still a thing. That's essentially what it was. The multiverse is still a thing.
Well, and Aaron, I want to correct my earlier statement. The movie you're referring to is actually Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Not Age of Ultron. When you said Sokovia, I don't know, sometimes we forget that Captain America: Civil War isn't an Avengers movie because
all the Avengers are in it.
Yeah. Because Sokovia came out of Age of Ultron, the destruction of which set up, critical to Zemo's backstory. Origin story.
There's 20 movies in there. It's easy to get confused. So,
Fair.
Well, and now I've seen every single one of them because I saw that goddamn Eternals movie, except... And let me clarify, Eternals,
it's
I don't
terrible.
Hate Eternals.
Yes.
I did not hate Eternals.
Clearly,
I just found
it's terrible.
It,
and
I just found it very
boring.
Boring. Yeah, I just was like, this movie is well filmed. It is happening. Like, it's just happening. Like,
there's too many characters, and none of them have enough time to actually develop, except for two characters. There are two good characters in the entire movie.
At least 20 good characters in that movie, Wayne.
But the only one I haven't seen is – I still haven't seen The Marvels.
Oh, come on.
Well, maybe they'll force me to watch it like they forced me to watch Eternals because they they referenced the Celestials in the ocean.
Well, I will say – oh, go ahead.
On the other hand, Marvels had the best mid and end credit scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
I enjoyed The Marvels.
Yeah, I think The Marvels is – I would rate The Marvels well above The Eternals.
Same.
Yeah, that actress that plays Kamala Khan really steals that movie, and it's good because I like her.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I mean, Captain Marvel is such a distant – she's played in this movie, in the MCU, as such kind of a cold, distant, separated figure that Kamala Khan adds a lot of humor and personality to.
Yeah,
you need that warmth. Counterpoint.
Just to deviate from our conversation just a bit, I'm deviating. Are you ready? I'm not deviating. I'm deviating.
Like a septum. He's deviating.
It wouldn't be a podcast without Aaron taking us off schedule.
That's right. And it wasn't bad enough that I started this 15 minutes late today because of stupid Skype. But no, I got home. I was on a business trip this week, and I got home yesterday, and there was a box on my front porch. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I don't know what this is. And I come in the house and I'm like, when you open it up, and it is from a Kickstarter I backed like 2.5 years ago and had completely forgotten.
What was it?
It's the Monty Python role-playing game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I had completely forgotten this was a thing. You know, I literally backed this thing way back in 2023 and had just forgotten all about it. I remember, you know, sometime in 24, I checked on it and, you know, it was like all those other Kickstarters where people are all bitching in the comments about how it's taking too long to fulfill. And, you know, I just forgot all about it. But it is a great, big, pretty book. And, you know, I got the dice package and the coconut that you put the dice in as your, you know.
Who made that?
Exalted Funeral.
I don't know anything about
it. I've never heard of them. Okay. Never heard of them. But it is a lovely book.
See, one of the things I've really appreciated about the Kickstarters I've backed lately is that even though I'm still waiting for all the physical products, they're shipping the PDFs like right away. Well, it may even be an early version, but they at least give me some content within a month of it finishing.
Well, and I realized yesterday, I was like, well, I need to go check and see what other Kickstarters are out there that I funded. And I realized that I never got my digital downloads for Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
And can't find...
They just released a whole new batch of them too.
Yeah, well, and I can't find the link, and so I had to send them a note through their backers kit, you know, contact to say, hey, what the hell? So anyway, still haven't seen my digital downloads, but
what level did you back that at, Aaron?
I got the digital package, so it's just everything digital.
I went all in.
Yeah. I know you did, Wayne. I know you did.
You know, I'm so looking at these outstanding, you know, this conversation has me looking at some outstanding Kickstarters because we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I'm moving. And some of my rewards are physical rewards.
Right.
And I might have to reach out to some. I have four outstanding Kickstarters that I haven't received yet, but I knew I hadn't.
You had that issue that the address you gave them is no longer the address you'll be living at. And what I didn't add in my story is that this went to my old house.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That would make sense.
Yeah. It was sitting on the front porch of my other house.
So did you not set up a forwarding address at your old house?
I did. But
that doesn't work for like UPS and FedEx and stuff.
It doesn't work for UPS.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I had that before too when I Not when I had done Kickstarters, I left things out, but I had my old address still in PayPal when I bought something online and it shipped to the other house. But I didn't still own that house. So I showed up at somebody else's house and just knocked on the door. It's like,
I am Wayne.
Did you get my VR headset?
And he's wearing the headset and he says no.
No.
Yeah. I might need to knock on someone's door and be like, hey, did you get my Medieval Spawn action figure? Did you get my Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver prequel graphic novel?
And they're like, oh, that's what the hell this little plastic figure is?
Yeah. That's what that giant box was? Because my dad collects the Spawn stuff. So they have these like Kickstarters that have like super remastered medieval Spawn figures that are signed by Todd McFarlane and blah, 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 blah. So I get those from my dad, and you know, sometimes they make it in time for the holiday in which I have purchased them. Right. Sometimes the Christmas gift turns into a Father's Day gift.
So, 2 years down the road.
Yeah. So yeah. So we'll see. I have to look into these four and see if I can get. Well, two of them are digital. One of them is Mounties versus Werewolves by Larry Hama.
Mm.
And the other one is a Trick or Treat digital graphic novel. So those are digital.
I have three outstanding. I keep a relatively close eye on them. One should be fulfilling any day. One, probably not for another 6 months. And then one, it's hard to say. I suspect they're going to be late, but they haven't actually said they're going to be late yet.
The ones that I really enjoy are the Pinnacle Kickstarters, yeah, because they fulfill so fast.
Yes.
You know, it's real. You're just really pre-ordering is all you're doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's great. So anyway, I didn't mean to take us down a whole Kickstarter track, but I was looking at my Monty Python role playing game
here. I think you did intend it. I think you literally said.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
I was going to agree with Andrew. I think it was intentional. I don't think you want to talk about Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
I think I probably do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to say about? What's burning in your heart to say about Spider-Man?
This was another one of those properties that I didn't think I was going to enjoy. I didn't think that it was going to be for me, you know, much like Skeleton Crew. But I'm really getting a kick out of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. It's a really entertaining cartoon on Disney Plus. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about it is it is taking tropes from the MCU and kind of putting them on their ear. I really enjoyed the introduction of Harry Osborn into the show, introduced much as Tony Stark was introduced in the Marvel movies to Spider-Man. I just have very much enjoyed how clever the show is and how fresh the show is.
Yeah, because despite what they originally intended, this is not in the MCU.
Yeah, right.
This is its own separate universe, but it is as MCU adjacent as you can possibly get.
But what's so funny about it is it feels like it's in the MCU for about half a minute.
Yeah.
Know? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is something different. But, you know, because you're meeting Harry Osborn, you're, you know, in the way that you do.
Yeah. Norman Osborn.
Norman, sorry. Thank you.
Harry is in the show as well. That's what confused me when you first mentioned him.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, you also meet Harry, and that's also kind of an interesting introduction. I dig the show. It's a lot of fun. It's very fresh.
The interesting thing for me about it is, like, I'm looking at it like it's a what if universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of that, a lot of the things that I normally would criticize a Spider-Man take on don't come into play. So this version, Uncle Ben died before he got his powers.
Right.
And Uncle Ben is not part of his origin in any way. That would bother me on a regular Spider-Man take. Yeah. But looking at it as an alternate reality, it doesn't bother me. And it leaves the character more open to be influenced by someone like Norman Osborn.
Yeah, it's really entertaining. I like the, you know, the little science club that he's in. You know, the after school internship.
I appreciate that he is. They don't forget how intelligent he is.
Right.
They remember how smart the character is. He's able to show his, you know, just his intelligence. He was able to build the suit and costume all himself initially. He's willing to stand up to Norman for himself at times. So there is that whole aspect where it is kind of like the MCU where Spider-Man just he has a older mentor, but instead of Tony Stark, it is Norman Osborn, which is a very interesting take. I love Nico.
So Nico's the football player.
No, Nico is his female best friend.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you.
So in the comics, Nico's from Runaways. The character has nothing to do with Spider-Man, and it was odd to me having her introduced, but I really love what they do with the character.
Yeah, not having read Runaways, I wasn't familiar that she was from somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing, as I'm watching these, they introduce the characters, I have to ask myself, is this character from something? Because they do such interesting twists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the main characters throughout the series has been Lonnie Lincoln. Tombstone. But it is a completely different take on Tombstone. And he's a friend to Peter. He's the football player. He is incredibly smart, though. He's not the typical dumb jock. He's good at science.
He's a stand-up good guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has a whole character arc throughout the entire series.
Yeah, it's a good show. I really recommend it.
Yes, I'm really enjoying it. I'm finally said
Wayne is much further along. I think you finished the show, haven't you?
I have. They released the finale this week, and I watched it. And I'm trying to avoid any major spoilers, but
thank you. I appreciate that.
I have really enjoyed the show, and it does things that the MCU does that I don't like there, but I think it does it better. And Peter is impressive.
Yep. It's a good show.
I've heard it's very good. I just need to, I'll give it a watch at some point.
Yeah. There's only like 10 episodes for an entire season. So yeah.
Are they like 20, 30 minute kind of episodes?
22 minutes long. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It's on my list to watch, but I just have not gotten to it yet.
Yeah. Very easy to binge show.
I mean, now that I've seen Eternals, the world is my oyster. I've been avoiding it for like 6 years.
God. You can watch half a season of Spider-Man in the time it took you to watch Eternals.
You've seen the worst. Now you can see the rest.
And now you're like 10 days out from Daredevil, Paul.
Oh, that means no time for Spider-Man.
Means you got plenty of time. You got plenty of
10 days to get in the Marvels. I'm just saying that.
But Reacher started. So.
Oh, man. And I've already finished the first two episodes of Reacher. Watched those last night.
Well, it was three. They released three? Yeah.
I thought it was two. So I've got another one out there to watch then.
Think it might be three. Yeah.
Well, I watched two of them last night.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get it all out of the way because you're going to have comics to read soon.
I don't know about that. No, actually, I've got some. This is going to be, spoilers, a pretty positive episode of Funny Books with Aaron and Polly.
Because there's a lot of the books that you read this week that we're not talking about.
Yeah, we left off the books I did not enjoy.
Yeah.
I was referring to, Paul, is the upcoming Marvel and DC crossover.
Yes. So apparently there was a... What is the thing that was happening this weekend that all this news came out during? Was it the Comics Pro or
something? Yeah, there's a... I forget what convention it was. It was
a retailer type convention.
Yeah, Comics Pro. Yeah,
Comics Pro. Yeah, so you know, so Comics Pro is, you know, like a retailer convention where they announce some major things, and so we know that there's a new creative team coming to Batman, Matt Fraction and Jorge Jimenez.
I don't know how he's got time to do that when he's doing all that Godzilla writing, but okay.
Yeah, fair point. You know, we also know that there's a new Captain America book from Chip Zdarsky coming as well. We know there's some type of major Marvel event from Jonathan Hickman featuring Nova coming in June 2025 called Imperial.
I'm looking forward to it. Just seeing the Nova helmet and Jonathan Hickman together got me excited.
The end of the beginning. I'm not sure what that means, but it's the end of the beginning.
It sounds very Hickman-esque. but the biggest news, with the least amount of detail, is that DC Editor-in-Chief Marie Javins and Marvel Editor-in-Chief C.B. Sibulski? I don't know. Revealed that there are two intercompany one-shots, DC Marvel from DC Comics and Marvel DC from Marvel Comics, coming later this year.
Yeah, I have to imagine this came out of whatever backroom deals happened to get us the final omnibus prints.
My guess is they looked at how much money they made selling $100 books, And maybe there is a market for this bullshit.
Money, I mean, once again, proves it can bring together everybody.
Exactly. Yeah,
they made money off of us.
I have enjoyed reading my omnibus so much. Yeah. I read all the Access series again because I love the Access series.
Now, I'm very curious. I will say I'm excited and disappointed at the same time. And I mean that, and what I mean by that is they're announced as one shots.
Right.
I'm like, I don't want a one shot. Like, I don't want a 48 page, you know, throwaway book. I want a big ass event, you know, in the vein of Amalgam and in the vein of the DC versus Marvel or JLA Avengers. I don't want one shots. I want event books with your top creative talent. You know, I want Jonathan Hickman to write DC Marvel, you know.
Right. Don't we have too many event books?
But event books of that magnitude, no. We do have too many event books. We are in constant event book.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah. Avengers Justice League was so good, though.
It was. It was.
You know, I don't know that Teen I've Titans ever actually X-Men. Read that.
Well, I think that's the nice thing. They're not trying to be like, ooh, let's do another huge thing like Justice League Avengers. Let's do something different. Let's not just try to top what we did, what was so successful almost 20 years ago. Let's do just one shots. It's a different style, different comic book. And then I'm sure if it sells well, Paul, I'm sure that if the relationship flourishes, that you will see, without a doubt, a big crossover event.
Hopefully. You know, I honestly don't feel like I ever read JLA Avengers.
It was a really good book, and I'm so happy that I have mine signed. But wouldn't it be interesting if they threw us like a huge curveball and made one of these crossovers be like the Absolute and the Ultimate Universes?
That would be interesting, yes.
I'd read it.
Yeah, I would too. I'd be happy about it.
Yeah, but it would be a surprise.
Well, so we'll see. You know, I mean, that is all they announced is that it is coming. They haven't announced any actual details on it.
Did they say it was going to be the next, like a year from now, next year? Is that what they
said? They said later this year.
Later this year. Okay.
Yep.
Which means as we get into summer con season, we'll start seeing a bunch more stuff.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's exciting.
It is. Well, gentlemen, you know, we... Speaking of event books, Alien versus Avengers issue 3 of 4 came out after. If it was planned this way, but issues 1 and 2 came out in pretty quick succession, and then there was a long time period between issues 2 and 3, and now issue 3 just came out. And if you actually look at the preview page for issue 4, it says on sale this May. So we've got another 3 months. Until this storyline ends.
That's just crazy.
It is. And I got to be honest, Aaron. Like, I have no idea how this story wraps up in one issue.
I mean, that's the thing is that, I mean, I feel like there's a lot going on. Don't get me wrong. But it feels like it doesn't even feel like we're midway. I feel like we've just set the stage for how bad everything is. And maybe this is just part of a larger arc. You know, that maybe it's a 4-issue miniseries, and then there's another 4-issue miniseries, and then another one, you know, so that you ultimately have, 12 books. But maybe we're coming to the end of the first act. Maybe that's what this is.
And that's possible that, wow. You know, this is really just kind of, there's going to be more kind of thing.
Yeah. But I love how they've integrated the Aliens world with the Marvel world. I love how it is represented visually. The artwork is just fantastic. Having Asad Ribic do the illustration is just really heroic in how it's drawn and just so ethereal and alien. I dig it. I really do. I mean, these two worlds that are so very different, you know, on their own, have meshed so well here. It doesn't deliver you an alien world or a Marvel world. It delivers AVA. It is its own thing, and I really very much enjoy all of that representation. And I hate, you know, when we lose some of the characters. I mean, I'm just like, no.
No, I know. There's a major death in this issue. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. Why?
But, you know, Mr. Sinister is, you know, one of the enabling villains in the book. And he's just so perfectly chosen in this role. Mm-hmm. You know, I the whole book is, I don't want to say it's fun because it's horror, you know, but
it is definitely not a fun crossover. Right. Hickman is writing
it's super dark.
It's super dark. It definitely has the feel of, and we haven't talked, you know, we talked about this, but it's been a few months. It definitely has the feel of the more recent Alien movies.
Right.
Like your Prometheus, your Alien Covenant, like those types of films.
Yep.
It definitely has that feel more so than, you know, a Marvel fun crossover type book.
Yeah.
But it's so beautifully drawn. It's so expertly written. It is just a fantastic book. You know, my only disappointment is that we wait so long in between issues, and that there's only four. But basically at this point, quarterly book. If it was longer than that, it would probably be like 2027 before this damn thing finished. So we'll see. We'll see how it wraps up
in issue four. It makes me wonder why the delay, because, you know, Asad Ribic was doing a monthly with Eternals and not having any trouble at all hitting those deadlines. So unless he's just got so many other projects right now, I don't understand what the delay is here.
Yeah, me either. And I doubt it's Hickman. I mean, he's not doing that many books. So, it's got to be Ribic. And maybe Ribic is, you know, multitasking, like doing more than one kind of thing.
Yep. Anyway, it's really solid. It's going to be beautiful collected. I'm eager to see where it winds up.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Well, you know, sticking in the Marvel universe, I picked up Doom Academy.
And I did not pick up Doom Academy.
And I did pick up Doom Academy.
I'm actually kind of surprised. And I know, you know, I think, I don't know, Aaron, if it was you or Wayne, but someone in our group chat, you know, I had mentioned about, you know, picking up this book, and you guys, somebody had said, I didn't pick it up because the art didn't look good to me.
That was me.
Okay. And, you know, it's the artist on the book is Pascal Ferry, who was the artist on Doctor Strange and, you know, like the death of Doctor Strange and stuff like that. So I was kind of surprised.
The preview pages, there was a certain tint towards a sort of a manga style that I didn't care for how some of the faces were drawn. I was just like, no, this isn't grabbing me. I'm out.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, I honestly thought the art was very good.
I enjoyed the art. And I thought maybe Wayne would get on since it's no longer Humberto Ramos doing the art for an Academy book.
You know, I actually really thought about it and I read the few preview pages, but it wasn't the art I had an issue with. I just wasn't interested.
Yeah, which I get. I mean, for what it's worth, I think this is a worthy successor so far to Strange Academy.
Well, it's the first issue, but yeah, it's a good first issue. I'm you know, we haven't seen Doom yet. It's really just introducing the new status quo and some of the new characters that are new to Latveria. I do love the head of the school newspaper.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's the son of the editor.
The editor.
the editor is a deep cut Doctor Doom reference.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I have not read a lot of those Strange Academy like one shots and you know, shorter series in between since the first volume that I loved so much. But I was like, let me give this a shot. And I don't feel like I've missed anything.
I think if you read the core series, you have not missed anything. Like I did read the three issue series during the Blade event, but I don't think any of it was necessary to know to enjoy Doom Academy.
Yeah, and you know you've certainly got Doyle, you know, still kind of dealing with the trauma of his ex girlfriend trying to take over the world,
and his father,
and his father. You know, all the characters that you know and love are back. Calvin doesn't have much to do yet, but
no.
You know, that's okay. He was kind of a central character in the first book. But honestly, I really enjoyed it. It is not by the same creative team. It is not by Scotty Young and Umberto Ramos, but the new creative team, Mackenzie Cadenhead, which sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah, has she written anything I would know about?
I don't know.
Okay.
But for what it's worth, the book is if you enjoyed Strange Academy, I actually recommend picking up Doom Academy. I don't know in the end if it's going to be, you know, material to the ongoing saga of the Strange Academy kids, or if it's just going to be another throwaway miniseries, but it feels like it's off to a good start. I like the representation of the characters. I think they're written well, and you know, the Harry Potter is strong in this book, especially because it's now set in a European country.
Well, you know, and I love, you know, this issue definitely focuses kind of on Zoe Doyle and Shaylee from Strange Academy. But I love Scoop and Doyle, like, just hanging out, sharing about how horrible their fathers are and how great their moms are. It's like a little bromance, like, blossoming between the two of them that I just adore. And then also, I got to say, I did enjoy, you know, when they're talking about, apparently at Doom Academy, everyone's required to take an after school elective, you know, club type of, you know, event to do every day. And so on the last, or almost the last page, like a lot of the old Strange Academy books, there's like a cross, a picture of the school newspaper with a list of the different possible clubs that you could join. And one is, you know, offspring opposing parental servitude. So, you know, was your mother unjustly imprisoned by a satanic figure? Join offspring opposing parental servitude. Oops. Where we will work together toward undoing any infernal incarceration of parents or parental figures. And then there's the Dungeons of Doom, which is a live action D&D game in the dungeons under Castle
in Doom's actual dungeon.
It cracked me up. But it's a fun
book. And I think, you know, what I liked about it so much is it's you know, we're going to talk about a couple of other books, but, you know, Alien versus Avengers and the other two books we're going to talk about this week were, I don't want to say not easy reads, but they required more of me as a reader.
This was a fun read.
This was just a fun read. I was able to read this, put it back, or, you know, smile. Put it back.
Smile.
Close the file. And like, that was fun. That was a good book.
I wish I had a picture of Paul smiling.
That was crazy.
Nice to see.
My cold dead heart at Doom Academy found its way in. I mean, it was the Dungeons and Dragons in Doom's actual dungeon that sold me on this book.
I love one of the kids is like, who thought that was a good idea?
So highly recommend Doom Academy if you like Strange Academy. And if you had Umberto Ramos issues, he's not the artist on this.
Correct.
But Aaron,
sir,
I got caught up on New Gods.
Did you?
And this book is so challenging for me. There, you know, New Gods, we talked about the first issue. We haven't talked about the second issue or the third issue, but, you know, we've essentially talked about how the premise of New Gods, or one of the main stories, I should say, of New Gods, is that Mr. Miracle has been tasked with protecting a child that Orion has been ordered to kill that they believe is the reincarnation of Darkseid.
Mm-hmm. High Father, you know, Isaiah, has ordered him to kill a child. The good guy, the guy that we've always known as the good guy, the pinnacle of goodness, has ordered him to kill a child.
Yeah. And that story is brilliant.
Was it young Hitler? Is that who he was told to kill?
Essentially. It is so well written. It is so well drawn. It is so, you know, the characters, you know, Big Barda, you know, is a significant, obvious character in it. It's just so, and, you know, Oberon pops up in issue 3. It's just so well done. And then there's the other side of the book, which is, you know, the actual delving into what's going on, you know, with these celestial beings and the New Gods. There's backstory on how the third world ended to make way for the fourth world. And that aspect of the book is not bad, but it is so overwhelming to me.
It's dense. It is extremely dense.
There are so many made up words and names. It is like, Well, my brain cannot take
it. Is some so of that. Heavily Eastern influenced. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about the New Gods, it's largely based on, you know, Western mythology, right? You know, you've got a lot of Jack Kirby, you know, throwing in a bunch of, you know, Greco-Roman sort of, you know, backstory into all of that. Whereas Ram V, who is an Indian fella, and I actually, I was like, who is this Ram V guy?
I think Ram is short for Ramesses, right?
It is short for Ramnarian.
Oh, okay.
And his last name is Venkatesan. So okay. Ram V. But, you know, he is a fairly new figure in comics. He's only been in the comics business since about 2016. But he's got, you know, a very distinct Eastern Indian sort of take on it. And, you know, the nuances that we're seeing are just so heavily influenced by his cultural background. And, you know, from a Western perspective, it does seem very different. And he's kind of pulling you along through his take on things as he's talking about this other culture that exists apart from the fourth world. I find it super interesting.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It is, you know, beautifully drawn. It is super interesting. It is just dense.
Yeah, no, it is a lot on the page, and it's a lot of narration, you know, explaining, you know, all of these, you know, different challenges. The thing about this book that has annoyed me, because I love, you know, the Scott Free and Barda, you know, going off on their mission, but it has taken us 3 issues to get him to accept the mission.
Yeah. But I think it's because it's only, you know, each issue, it's basically 6 pages of the issue is the Scott Free stuff. Like, right. You know, it goes back and forth between what's happening with, you know, Metron and, you know, now there's this kind of, it's interesting because it's not Mongol, but it's a very Mongol-esque society. Mongol-esque society that's kind of is taking advantage of the fact that Darkseid is no longer, and you know, has stormed the, you know, war world to take it over. And you know, there's kind of like three tales going on, and I'm sure at some point they'll converge. I think to your point, Aaron, because of that, you know, the Scott Free thing is kind of moving a bit at a snail's pace.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, I mean, and we see that it's not just, you know, we're coming back and forth into his story. The clock is moving. You know, it's been 3 issues and he's lost 3 or 4 days. And he's got a week to solve this problem before Orion shows up and kills the kid. And, you know, I'm just like, clock's ticking, guy. You know, let's get a move on, you know. Come on.
Yeah.
Hurry up. So, yeah, I mean, we're losing time, but I sure do. I love the relationship between Barda and Scott. I loved it in the Tom King story. That was out a year or two ago. I love it here. Really get it. I think they've got just fantastic chemistry, and I think Ram V is doing a marvelous job writing them. I can't wait to see where all this goes, but there are portions of this book, particularly in the third issue, that I found to be kind of a slog to get through some of the descriptive text on what's going on apart from the world that we know, right? Yeah. But it sure is good. It's a good book.
Yeah, agreed. It is definitely, you know, it requires a lot of its reader.
Yeah. Yeah. But also requiring a lot of its reader is Bug Wars, Paul.
Yeah. So did anyone else read Bug Wars?
I read it.
Did anybody else read Bug
Wars? I did. I read it.
No. I did not. To answer your question.
I bought 0 books this week.
No, I'm kidding. So, you know, Bug Wars is actually a new book from Image Comics by Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Osrar. You know, these guys have done numerous Marvel books together in the past. And, you know, it is a fantasy epic set in the world of bugs. But you don't – it's funny because I didn't realize the – you know, I'm looking at the cover. And the cover, the foreground shows, like, these – kind of alien-esque looking figures riding bugs doing battle. And if you're just focused on the foreground, you miss the fact that in the background there's like a dude holding a can of Raid about to spray them.
Right.
And I totally didn't catch that. So I was very caught off guard in the book where, you know, we're set in this world of ants and beetles and these, like I said, alien-esque creatures riding them. And then all of a sudden we see, you know, like the humans have run the lawnmower over this epic battle, basically killing everybody. And I'm like, oh, okay. I wasn't expecting us to get, you know, to go into the human world. So it's very interesting. And, you know, Jason Aaron kind of explains it at the end that he really did want to take a more, his intent with this book was to take some of these fantasy type books that he loved as a kid, or, you know, fantasy type tales like The Rats of Nim or The Littles, you know, Sword of the Atom, The Chronicles of Narnia, you know, things like that, and tell those types of stories in a more mature manner. He describes it as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Game of Thrones. And, you know, with that description, that's very much the type of book that you get here.
Yeah. I picked this up when it came out a couple of weeks ago, and I opened it up on the day I bought it, and I got it like a page or two in, and like, this isn't what I want to read. And I put it back down. And so when you said, hey, let's read, you know, Bug Wars, it's like, damn it. Okay, fine. and I was surprised because, like yourself, I didn't tune into what was on the front cover. I was surprised when all of a sudden, you know, we revealed that the Great Storm was actually a lawnmower going over the anthill, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the punky older brother mowing the yard at this house. And all of a sudden I was in. All of a sudden it just clicked for me, the kind of story he was telling. And I really dig it. I like that you're getting almost in a Steven Spielberg-esque story of a broken family, you know, trying to who has been forced to relocate, you know, having to, you know, reconnect and cope with the death of the father, and this fantastical other world that we get exposed to. I think it's a really interesting story. I'm dying to know what happened to the dad in the basement.
Right.
You know, I mean, you see that image and you're like, oh, Lordy, what did that? You know, so all of that stuff is super interesting. And I have to say, what upset me to no end in this book is the continual depiction of this kid's level of acne. It is upsetting and alarming. I would really prefer that we didn't have such an accurate representation of this poor kid's acne.
Yeah, but, he's having a rough
yeah time. He's having a rough puberty years. It's a rough puberty.
Yeah
but anyway, good book. I really recommend it. You know, Jason Aaron is such a great writer, and Mahmoud Osrar is really drawing something otherworldly here, and I'm really getting a kick out of it.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely recommend checking it out from Image Comics, and it's Bug Wars, and only the first issue is out so far.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Next week is actually a pretty solid week for new issues. Pretty solid week of new issues. From DC Comic, we have the newest issues of Absolute Wonder Woman, Detective Comics from Tom Taylor and Michael Janin, Superman from Joshua Williamson and Dan Mora. And Dan Mora also draws Justice League Unlimited, written by Mark Waid. From Marvel Comics, we have the latest issue of Ultimate Spider-Man. We have the continuation of the J. Michael Straczynski team book one-shots. You know, he had done Dr. Doom and Rocket Raccoon previously. The next one is Captain America and Volstagg.
Hmm.
So that comes out next week as well as the start of the second arc of Jason Aaron's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book from IDW.
Very exciting.
Awesome.
So. I'm even reading like three Jason Aaron books right now.
Yeah, he kind of came back and started doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. We got Bug Wars, loving that. I'm reading
Absolute Superman,
loving that. And reading the TMNT book, loving that. I mean, these are three fantastic books.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. All right.
I got to get caught up on Absolute Wonder Woman. I think I'm an issue behind.
Early contender for Best Writer 2025.
No. Only 10 months to figure it out.
That's right. I'm locking it in now, Paul.
Lock in your favorite cover while you're at it.
That's right. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about this week's books. How much do you love Bug Wars? Let us know. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise. And we might even send it to the correct house, not like Kickstarter and send it to the wrong house.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
What a deal. Well,
don't forget to get your monthly rewatch of The Eternals in.
Monthly rewatch of The Eternals. Monthly rewatch, just
kill me. That's hell.
That is how they punish criminals at Guantanamo.
I think your image of Guantanamo is very different than reality.
Yeah, I think if I had to do that, I would cancel my Disney Plus, so I wouldn't be able to do that.
I don't think they let you cancel Disney Plus at Guantanamo.
It's in the terms and conditions.
Yeah, and they also make you read Spaceman.
Oh.
It's the only reading there at Guantanamo, Spaceman. All right, guys, we'll see y'all later.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.